Hello, beautiful alchemist. Welcome to Reiki Radio. I am your host, Yolanda. And this is our final episode for November. This is the last episode for, gosh, this year is just going by so fast. We only have 1 month left, and there is plenty to share with you. I'm really looking forward to the upcoming episodes, conversations, and of course, with what we're going to discuss today and who you will meet today. So, we're going to round out this month with another insightful conversation with founder of Awaken Harmony. Her name is Carla Fernandez. And we discuss her three-step formula, which is unpacking trauma, getting to know our true nature, and aligning with divine purpose. She has an incredible story, which you will hear all about in our conversation. We have some fun, some laughs, I'm sure. There will be parts of her story that you resonate with or may even remind you of other people that have crossed your own path, even some of your clients, perhaps. But it's very interesting, always to me, how people come into this journey of healing and transformation, what brings us here. And for Carla, she said it was to the point where every emanation of her life was just screaming for healing. But again, you'll hear all about that. I just want to let you know right away, though, to learn more about Carla and her work, please visit awakenharmony.ca and you can follow her on Instagram at awakenharmony and the number 8. Also, of course, that's down in the show description. I also want to say the Reiki Rays Global Healing Summit, the 8th annual summit, has finally wrapped up. And I just want to say I appreciate so much the messages and the feedback that I received after the summit. So if you sent me an email, a message on social media, whatever it was, I read them all. And I am very, very thankful that you also, like myself, got a lot of insight from the summit and the guests. It was a lot of fun. It was my second time co-hosting. And it's just, again, that's why I even do Reiki Radio. I love meeting practitioners, healers, teachers of all different lineages, from all different systems and practices, because you all know, I say it all the time, we learn and grow in exchange. When the summit was over, I also hosted for the summit was a Q&A where I answered questions that were submitted by people who participated in the summit. And so that was a lot of fun, although it wasn't live. And so I really would like to do a live Q&A where everyone here in the Reiki Radio community, you can join me for conversations. Again, live. And you can ask me whatever you want to ask me about Reiki, my personal path, different practices, and I will share with you what I know. If there's anything, of course, that I don't know, I will try to point you in the right direction. But one of the best ways to join me for live Q&As is I do host the Reiki Radio Roundtables on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. I also host the Seeker Circle on the second Sundays of the month. And you can get the links to both of those to meet me live, chat with me live about your practice. Again, ask me questions. We can talk about what came up for you on the episodes of Reiki Radio. Just go to my app and you will see where you can access those links to join me. So if you go to the Apple App Store, or if you go to the Google Play Store for Androids, look for The Energetic Alchemist and download my app. There's lots of free content there for you. And if you want to do a membership option on the app, you get even more content, including oracle readings by sign that I do throughout the week. There's also alchemy tools, Reiki tools, guided journeys, meditation, so much content. And I often put other things like I have a free course on there called Joy-Filled Healing. And naturally, if you have ever worked with me and know how I function, there will be a lot more that I put on there to support people on their path. So, all right, let's get into this episode, shall we? Let's meet Carla Fernandez. Again, if you want to connect with Carla, the links are down in the show description. If you want to connect with me, go to my website, theenergeticalchemist.com. While you're there, sign up for the newsletter and don't forget to download the app. I will see you beauties on the other side. Okay, beautiful alchemists. Today we are here with the beautiful Carla Fernandez of Awaken Harmony. Carla, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure being on your show, and I'm excited to be diving into today's conversation.
Yeah, so am I. And, you know, you and I, fortunately, we got a chance to chat and get to know each other a bit a few months ago, I believe. And you have a very interesting story, and I'm excited for everyone to hear because I think there's a lot of inspiration in there, what it is that you've gone through and how your healing work has supported the journey, of course. So I wanted to just start there with you. I know that you had a career in investment, and so many people have this story of, you know, corporate life and then, right? But you were so busy at the time and also were going through some health issues. So can we just start there and tell us a bit about what you were encountering back then?
Yes, of course. So this is going back, I would say, about 7, 8 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, I was in sort of corporate Canada or corporate America, very similar type of culture, where, you know, you're sort of conditioned and encouraged to keep climbing that corporate ladder, keep, you know, striving for the next sort of opportunity or the next step in that sort of ladder. And certainly that's great. I'm a very driven and motivated individual, but I guess at that time, I didn't realize that my drive and motivation or what I was working towards wasn't really actually fulfilling me at a deeper level. And you know, I just sort of pushed on through for many years. I mean, this really comes from even earlier, an even earlier point in my life where, you know, I'm a first generation immigrant. And so when you immigrate to a new country, sort of the values and the work ethic that is instilled in you as a young individual is a little bit different than individuals who are maybe born in that country already, right? Yeah. And so, you know, coming over to Canada and sort of watching as a little girl, watching, you know, how hard my parents had to work just to be able to provide for the basic necessities and just sort of that mentality that they instilled on us as children that, you know, in order for us to be able to be successful or to have, you know, some comfort and security in life, that we have to work extremely hard in order to be able to achieve those things. And so that was sort of ingrained from such a young age that I think, you know, I started working at 11 years old and I was doing school full time. So at a young age, I already had cultivated this attitude that I really needed to work, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 hour days in order to be able to, you know, get through school, get the basic necessities covered, and just really survive.
Wait, and so I have to ask you about that, Carla, because as I'm hearing you say this, it's so interesting. Just curious, at that time, was it like, was there an underlying fear of not being successful or not working? Like, was there a pressure that drove that? Or was there a part of you that actually enjoyed the chase, I guess?
I think there was a lot of pressure because of being like a first generation immigrant and knowing that my parents, you know, they sacrificed a lot. They gave up a lot in their life in order for us, their children, to be able to have better opportunities. I felt this bigger duty to fulfill, you know, that sort of typical success chart, right?
Right.
Like, you know, what my family would consider to be successful or what typical society would be considered to be successful is that, you know, I wanted to make my parents proud because I knew how much they had, you know, given up in their life, how much they had fought to be able to provide us with these opportunities that they didn't have for themselves.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think there was that definitely an innate sort of motivation and drive within me, because that's just part of my personality. But I also felt that, having that added, I guess, awareness of knowing that, there are people in the world that live in countries that unfortunately just don't have the same level of opportunities as other people in the world, like in North America. And I felt very privileged to have had that sort of opportunity to, leave a country that had less opportunities for me as an individual and be given what I felt was like a world of opportunities by coming into America. And certainly there are very many opportunities here in North America. But what I found during my journey is that, we're conditioned to believe that everybody's opportunity is going to look the same. That the opportunity requires, going into corporate America or going into corporate Canada in order to achieve that level of success that everyone says is, that people feel proud of, to say, oh yes, my daughter is a doctor, or my daughter is a lawyer, or my son is this, or my son is an engineer, whatever the case may be. Parents feel very proud when, their children achieve a certain level of success. And, for the longest time, that's all I really wanted to do, was make my parents proud, make my family proud, make the people around me, happy with the choices I was making for my life. But what I failed to realize is that in doing that, I wasn't actually happy with the choices that I was making for myself. And that, yes, I was living this, corporate America dream, independent female, had a great career climbing the corporate ladder in the banking world or in the investment industry, independent enough to be able to provide for myself, have my own place. Like, there was a lot of things that I should have been proud of at that time, but just still felt this emptiness and this void, and felt like, yes, I had all these things, quote unquote, that, checked off as, working towards my happiness or my, my success or my career or all those things. But deep down inside, I knew that I wasn't happy. I knew that I wasn't fulfilled. And, it took me a really long time to accept that I was sort of at a point in my life where it was time to start prioritizing and really getting clear on my values and what was important to me. And then deciding from there, what that next chapter looked like. But I
Can I
was.
ask you though, was that hard? Because I imagine, I mean, because you've put so much emphasis, and even your eyes kind of sparkle when you say it, right? Going through this phase where you put so much dedication and energy to show appreciation and make your parents so proud. But then when you realize it's like that versus your own happiness, like what does that stir up? Because, like even though you came to this place of realizing now I have to see what would fulfill me, was there any kind of tug of war? Like how was that kind of versus energy?
The tug of war for me went on for I would say about 2 or 3 years before I truly allowed myself to give in to what was coming up, the feelings that were coming up, and the changes that I was being asked to make. So I would say, and here's the thing, hindsight is so beautiful when we can look back and say, oh my goodness, I could see that, at this point in my life there was a sign, and then at this point in my life there was another sign. But unfortunately, at the time, I was, dealing with a lot of sort of trauma from like childhood experiences that I had, things that I hadn't really processed in my life. And unfortunately, I feel like in our society, we're not really taught how to process our human experience, how to process the feelings, the emotions, the things that come to the surface. In fact, in many cases, we're really encouraged to bury those feelings, to not acknowledge those feelings, to just brush them under a rug so that we can pretend that everything is happy and joyful in our life. And think, I fell along to that sort of conditioning and that programming for many years. And I just unfortunately didn't process any of the things or any of the experiences that I had had until that point in my life. Now, I think I was about 33 when this sort of all came to a boiling point. But I would say prior to that, those three years leading up to it, once I started coming into my 30s and, I started to really assess my life and really reflect on, my values, my priorities, and looking around and seeing that my life itself did not reflect what I truly valued and what I truly was seeking for myself.
Yeah.
It was still very scary in those first few years to find the courage to even make a change. Because as you said earlier, I spent so much time, so much energy, so many resources, financial resources into my career. I was an investment advisor for 15 years, and every few years I was upgrading and taking new courses and developing my skill set and my knowledge. And so I woke up one day and I thought, oh my goodness, I can't see myself doing this for the next 20, 30 years of my life. But what am I going to do now? I don't know anything else. I've invested all this time and money and energy. And I felt like, if I even begin to tell people in my life that I no longer want to do this, what is everybody going to think?
Yeah.
What's my family going to think? I've spent so much time, money, I dedicated so much energy, so many resources, working 16-hour days,
that's
pouring
like your
myself.
Whole identity at that point.
Exactly. And it was, and that's that. Fortunately, my career became my identity because I didn't allow space for anything else in my life to form part of my identity, right? I didn't have time for, solid friendships, solid relationships. And so it really just took over my entire being. And aside from that, at the same time, I was dealing with all of these physical symptoms that were coming up. And I was, really chasing a solution or an answer to the physical conditions I was experiencing. I was dealing with a lot of irritable bowel syndrome. Like, my tummy was always upset no matter what I ate. I tried, process of elimination. Like, I removed everything from my diet and then reintroduced things to figure out what were the types of foods that were giving me allergies or upsetting my stomach. And it was so difficult because I would eat one food one day and it would be fine. And then a couple of days later, I could eat it again and it could upset my stomach. And so it became so frustrating for me to really pinpoint and target what were the things that I needed to eliminate, because it felt like, at different points in my life, everything was upsetting me.
Was the stress a contributing factor to that? Because I imagine, gosh, if you had that much pressure on you, I mean, if you were that stressed, anything would be disruptive. Yes. Yeah.
And I would say that was the biggest. Yes, there was certainly certain foods that are more upsetting for my tummy than others. But the biggest thing was the amount of stress and anxiety that I was under, that, I was having panic attacks on a regular basis.
Wow.
I would be driving in my car and I would have to pull over just because I would go into a panic mode. Not that anything was happening in front of me, but my nervous system was so, it was such under such attack that just me going about my day-to-day life and doing the simplest things would have triggered and activated that nervous system to a point that I would be paralyzed sometimes and not be able to take any form of action or do anything.
Yeah.
I wasn't eating properly. I wasn't sleeping properly. I was having these breathing issues. And so I was chasing the solution for all of these physical symptoms. And, my first approach was to go to my, health doctor, my traditional allopathic doctor, And for years, I would say 3, 4 years, he sent me for blood work tests, all these different things to try and figure out what was going on. And it always came back that I was a perfectly healthy girl. And the more I heard that, the more I got frustrated because I knew that in my body, I didn't feel healthy. I knew that there was something completely wrong about what I was experiencing, what I was feeling, what I was going through, and I just couldn't find a solution to helping me feel better. So eventually it all just came to a boiling point. The more we sort of force ourselves and push ourselves to do things, especially when we're not in the right mental, emotional, physical, or even spiritual state of mind, the more difficult that challenge is going to be for us. And so I think for so many years, I just kept pushing myself to, do what I needed to do to show up for work, to show up for the people in my life. I'm someone that people count on and rely on. So I do a lot for everyone in my life. And it was very challenging for me at that time to even just set boundaries and say, no, I'm not in a good place right now, or maybe I can do this for you tomorrow. It was difficult for me because that wasn't modeled for me as a child. It wasn't something that is taught in school. Right? So if we don't learn this from our parents, we grow up and we pick up on, these habits that then have an impact on us as adults. And so I just continued to really push myself to do what I needed to do. And eventually my body just gave up and said, no more.
No more. I have to tell you, Carla, it's so fascinating. It's interesting that this is all striking me the way that it is at this time. Because, again, a lot of people listening will, I know, be able to resonate with everything you're saying. But one of the things you said a little while back, it's interesting, 33 was when all this started to erupt for me too. But you said, we don't really have the opportunity to process the human experience. And when you said that, it was like, yeah, I mean, this very human experience is almost like, we are conditioned to not acknowledge it as such, like not the highs and lows and the ebbs and flows. We're only supposed to strive for this perfection that is,
Perfection.
and what is that even, right? But the listening to you and just thinking of, okay, here you are trying your very best and stressed over work, but then that's compounded by the stress of trying to find solution to the body feeling unwell, and just even that, like the fact of like how stressful that can be just to try to figure out how to feel better. And so like, of course, so, okay, so your body is just like, done. I'm done.
I'm
I'm
done.
shutting down. What happened then?
I was actually forced to go on a medical leave. I had no choice. I was at a point where by the time I went to go see my doctor, he suggested right away that, the state that I was in, all the symptoms that I was describing, that I needed a break from my work and I needed a break from just life in general, just to really put a pause on everything and just allow myself the time I needed to heal. And so little did I know when I agreed to this, to going on this medical leave, little did I know that it was going to be as long as it was. At the time I thought, okay, I'm going to need, just a couple of weeks to get back on my feet, get some rest, start to feel a little bit better, and then, I'll return back to my work and my life. And I think that medical leave ended up being close to 8 months. And that time really allowed me to start exploring all of the alternative healing arts that are available out in the world. And honestly, if it wasn't for that time and space, I don't think I would have learned about how many different natural healing practices that are out there and that are available for people to use to actually get that true healing in the body. And that was what was the most important thing for me
So
in
was it
my.
your own research or did you hear, like, had you already known of some of these modalities?
No, I hadn't known about any of them, to be honest. I think at that time I knew there was, I knew about acupuncture, I knew about naturopath, homeopath, but I hadn't tried any of these things myself. But what really set it off for me was, I think about a month in to being on my medical leave, I came across Mindvalley. I'm not sure if you know Mindvalley online. And they were promoting a kind of past life, not past life, but a childhood regression
Like
type
inner
of
child.
therapy. Yeah, meditation with her name is Marissa Pierce, and she's a hypnotherapist in the UK and does a lot of like inner child healing work. And so they were promoting her online class, and I thought, home, what do I have to lose? Let me participate in this. I've heard meditation's a great way to help people, deal with their nervous system. So I thought, let me just try this. And so I'm in the middle of this meditation, and we're going back to a point in my childhood. And I'm in the middle of my adult self embracing my child self. We're going through that sort of embrace of me reassuring my inner child that everything's going to be okay, that you're going to be safe, that you are loved. And in that moment of the embrace, something came to me. It was like a download that came to me that said, it just said Reiki. And I said, and I was like, in the middle of the meditation, I was like, Reiki? I've never heard that word before. I'm like, what is Reiki? And I wanted to make sure that I didn't lose the word, because when I came out of the meditation, I really wanted to do my research to figure out what is Reiki. And so it just kept repeating the word over and over and over again. And so I thought, okay, as soon as I'm done from this meditation, I'll regroup and then I'm going to start my research. And I did. And at the time, I looked into it. It was talking about how it's energy healing. And, I had always believed myself to be a very spiritual person. I mean, I had gone through different phases in my life where I either felt more connected or, less connected. But I always had, something in me that knew there was something greater than us, that there was, a bigger source of energy, a bigger love than what we know. And, as I started to do the research, I thought, okay, well, let me explore what Reiki is about. I reached out to a girlfriend. She had recommended a practitioner. And so I went for my first Reiki session, or my first conscious Reiki session, because I came to find out after having that first session that I had actually had Reiki done to me maybe 3 or 4 years prior, when I was back home in Portugal for a trip. But it wasn't the person who did that energy healing didn't explain it to me as Reiki, didn't call it Reiki, didn't even say any of those things. I just went for a session. They did some healing. And now, when I reflect back, I can see that that was the first moment where I started to recognize that I needed to make a change in my life. So I felt like Reiki came into my life before I even knew what Reiki was. I received an energy healing treatment that then propelled my life for the next 4 years. I felt it made things in my life worse, because what I've come to learn now is that all those things needed to be shaken out of my life in order to allow and invite new things to come into my life. So those first 4 years, I feel like, I received that Reiki treatment. It kind of purged and got me to go through an even more difficult challenge in my career and in my life. But it was what I needed for me to be able to make the decision to come out on the other side. And so it was interesting that then I made a conscious decision to go and have another Reiki session, which I thought at that time was my first Reiki treatment. And I found that session just to be so mind-blowing. And I feel like I, in that one session, the amount of downloads and information and knowledge and wisdom that came to me was like incredible. It felt like I learned more in that one session about health, mindset, spirituality, our emotions than I had ever prior to that point in my life. And something shifted with that appointment. It just, I feel like it cleared the clouds away for me.
Yes.
And it helped me realize that I knew what my purpose was. At that point, I started to realize that I now know what my purpose is here on earth. And I started to feel more confident in knowing that because I have clarity on my purpose, now I know what the path looks like going forward. I may not know every step of the way. I may not know all the twists and turns that are going to come along the way, but I knew at that moment that I had to peel myself away from the corporate world and pursue what truly makes me happy.
Wow.
And I've always known that what makes me happy as an individual is to be of service for others, but in a way that is truly creating an impact in their life, not just, you know, to be of service in a corporate or customer service type of setting, but that, you know, I will come into people's lives and help them make major transformations, make major changes that is going to improve the lives, their own lives, but also the lives of the people that are around them, right? The ripple effect that we each create by the people that the lives that we touch.
I want to get into the meat of this, like you discovering your purpose and going deeper into, you know, how you even allowed yourself to pursue this. Because again, I know that a lot of people listening, so many people come to the space of recognizing the desire, but it can be very scary to make such a huge leap and transition away from what is familiar, no matter how, you know, debilitating it may be. It's still familiar and we're still in that story of stability and this is what it has to look like, right? So I want to go deep into this for you. But I have to say, Carla, one of the things you said, I'm so glad you pointed out, was that initial session you had, the energy work that wasn't named, but then there was this 4-year eruption. And the reason I'm glad you say it is because a lot of people think that, you know, when energy starts to move and things start to come up and get uncomfortable to come out, they may think that they're doing this whole thing wrong, or they become afraid or frustrated or even upset of like, I want it to feel better, not to go through whatever this may be, right? And it came to a point where I started to acknowledge like what we would call the dark night. It's more of like a sacred night if we really understand like the beauty of that disruption. It's hard and uncomfortable. I would not, you know, try to sugarcoat that, but I'm so glad that you even acknowledged it. It was an initiation of sorts. It really was this catalyst of just breaking everything open. So now here you are, fast forward, whoop, 4 years later, stuff has been shaking and moving, and you go to a consciously realizing you're in the Reiki session. And so now, at this point of decision, did you feel more at peace with it? Was there still a tug of war? Was there any fear? And then what did you then think that this is what I have to do next? Did you take classes or what was your next step?
Even though I knew in my heart that I was, you know, sort of coming closer to understanding and knowing what that purpose was, there was still a lot of fear, a lot of fear, because again, we've been so programmed and conditioned to believe that, you know, if we're doing something that's not necessarily conventional or is off the beaten path, that it doesn't necessarily lead to success.
Right.
Typically, you know, the starving artist or starving songwriter, musician or healer, right? Like, you know, we have this belief that if we're not doing corporate America, corporate Canada, or you're not working for an already established business, that It's so challenging to build a business. And it certainly is. I mean, it's not an easy it's not an easy thing. It's definitely not for the faint of heart, but anybody can do anything so
Yeah.
long as we truly set our minds to it and so long as we are in alignment with our true selves and our true purpose. At that time, I still didn't grasp the full scope of what that would look like for me,
Yeah.
but I knew that I needed to venture on this path. I know now how to listen to my soul and how to hear the calling of my soul and what is so important to me as an individual that I've come to learn, no matter how scary it is, no matter how much fear I might have around what I'm being asked to do, that if I'm being asked, if my soul is asking me to do this, then it's
Yeah.
something that I absolutely have to do. It's
That's
part of my calling, it's part of my path, it's part of my journey. Now, it did take these 7 years because, this is something that I'm still wrestling with today, even after doing so much healing, is
yeah.
that, there will come ideas or inspirations or thoughts that come to the surface of things that I want to create or that I'm seeking to put out into the world. But I'm automatically hit with that fear and that uncertainty right away. And I think that's just part of that human experience because it's been conditioned into us.
Yeah.
Now, what the difference is at, where I am today versus where I was maybe 7, 8 years ago is that, back then I would have allowed that fear and that insecurity and all of those things that come up, I would allow them to hold me back and not take any action. Whereas today, I recognize that yes, I have these incredible desires to create, beautiful things for the world, beautiful healing for people to support them in incredible ways. And yes, there's a lot of fear around and uncertainty around how that will happen. Will I be able to sustain, myself, my livelihood
Yeah.
by doing this? There's still all those fears. Now I know that my calling is bigger than my fears, and
Yeah.
that, I just have to put those fears aside and just keep pushing forward and taking the action steps and taking, that inspired action to create the things that I truly want to create, because I know at the end of the day that God, source, divine will provide, will protect, will make sure that I have everything I need to go on this human existence, right? Or this human experience. And so,
I
yes,
have
the
to,
fears come up, but it's learning how to move past them, how to move through them so that we can still get where we need to go.
I'm sorry that I keep interrupting. It's just you keep saying so
No.
many juicy things, and I'm like, we can't just let that flow by, Carla. I mean, you're just saying all of these little nuggets, right? It's so interesting when you said you started listening to your soul. There's two things that came up around this that I just have to ask you again for all of us, right? Did you start to recognize, or do you now, even hindsight, recognize the effect of when we don't listen to our soul? Like, can you see now, hindsight, the times where you didn't listen and what the repercussion was? And
Yeah.
then has that inspired you now listening? The other thing I would love to know before we go deeper is, did you start then allowing yourself to re-identify, like, what was that like to start to even own or see yourself much different than the picture you had painted before?
Yes. Oh, thank you for those questions. They're definitely beautiful questions. Definitely in hindsight, I can now look back at all those moments in my life where my soul was screaming at me to wake up.
Yeah.
And because of the pain and the trauma that I, had experienced at the time and hadn't processed, I just wasn't listening. And I know that because I didn't listen for many years, for long periods of time, that it led me to feeling depressed, sad, angry. Completely disconnected from people, myself, just disconnected even from the work that I was doing. I felt like I was just a machine in operation mode and just getting by. There was nothing there on the inside for many years. I'm going to say, for a good 10 years, I felt like I was walking around like a zombie, completely disconnected. Certainly there was a lot of pain and emotions that had happened to me prior to that led me to that point. But I also know that the fact that I wasn't processing, the fact that I wasn't actually dealing with the emotions, dealing with the things that were coming up, the fact that, I hadn't cultivated a strong enough relationship with my higher self, with my spiritual self, to, allow that as to be my guiding force through life, like, tuning into my intuition. I was always a very in tune person and could tell my intuition was very strong, or I could almost like a psychic predict certain things that were happening, but I still never trusted it, even though I knew, like in my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to happen. I still never really trusted in my power of our intuition and how to really cultivate that, communication with my intuition for it to be my guiding force. And so things would come up in my life, my intuition would flare up and say either yes or no, and I would ignore it. And then that in itself would lead to more pain and suffering. So I was just in a cycle, and I just kept repeating it over and over and over again. And again, I had to live that sort of breakdown moment in my life, because I'm not sure why, as human beings, we have to go through this. But as you described it earlier, that dark night of the soul, or that very sacred part of the journey where, I truly believe that for us to know what we want, we have to know what we don't want. And I had to go through those extremely dark moments in my life and that extremely dark period for me to acknowledge and say, I don't want this anymore. I can't have this anymore in my life. And if I don't want this, then now I need to do the work to get me to the point that's opposite of where I am, to the point where I truly want to be. So hindsight is, it's the best thing
It's
that we can
incredible.
have. But I encourage people, and I think, if I had been exposed to this earlier on in my experience or in my journey, maybe I would have avoided, years of pain and suffering. Now, at the end of the day, I know everybody's journey is exactly as it should be. However, I do wish that this information was available earlier, or that people were talking about the signs of what burnout looked like, or what does it feel to be going through an awakening. A lot of people talk about an awakening as being a, I don't know, I had this concept and idea in my mind that, going through an awakening is such a beautiful, peaceful, blissful, magical, joyful thing. And yes, it is all those things, but it's not just those things. It comes with, the opposite of that as well. The pain and the suffering and the acknowledgement of the trauma and, all those things that we experienced as human beings. The awakening requires us to look at those things as well, not just the peace and the bliss and the happiness and the joy. And I found that, or I find that a lot of people don't talk about the harsh reality of what an awakening or a healing journey really looks like. We're, again, we often will just focus on the beautiful side of the awakening, or on the aftermath of what the awakening brings into our life. That's great. We all need to know what we can hope for,
Look
strive
forward
for,
to.
what we can, aspire to bring into our life. Well, we also have to understand that there is another real part of that experience, which is dealing with and
Yeah.
processing the emotions, the
Okay,
pain,
Carla,
these
you did it
barriers.
again. Let me tell you something. You are just really, I mean, what is happening? I'm so glad for this conversation. Because again, I mean, I know it's going to resonate with so many, but you're just articulating it all so beautifully, like what this path may look like and the experience of it. But something that you said again, it really struck a chord when you were talking about, you know, going through part of the cycle and being so depressed, but now hindsight knowing it was because you weren't listening. You weren't listening to the parts of you that wanted to be acknowledged. You weren't listening to the soul aspect of you that was saying, like, hey, there's some part of me that's not okay. And the reason it's so striking is because, you know, you do hear a lot about like people, we will come into these spaces of depression, disconnection, and whatever, and often can't say why. And I think a lot of times when people can't say why, it's even more disheartening. And then they judge themselves even more. And then may even receive judgment from others of like, well, if you can't say why, then you should be fine. Right. But I think you bring up a really good point that sometimes it's just that what's lingering beneath the surface that we just can't see clearly yet. And it puts so much emphasis on that understanding of our wholeness, like that mind-body connection and how the effect of what we hold, it will manifest itself in such, you know, it can be very extreme, but instead of seeing it as something's wrong with you, a lot of times it's just an alert of something's ready to be known by you, you know? Yeah. So that's incredible. Just the way that you're describing this. I'm like, wow, like it's I think it brings a lot of understanding to the tougher parts of this.
Yeah. And I've come, and I mean, this is just my opinion. It's not medical advice
Yeah.
and everybody's circumstances is very different, but I came to realize that the biggest driver for me in my depression was the fact that I was not connected to myself.
Yeah.
I was not connected to my higher self. I was not, you know, in that dialogue, listening to the guidance and the advice, or, you know, just any, I there was no dialogue there.
Yeah.
And I would argue that a lot of individuals who experience depression, likely it's for the same reason, is that there is, you know, and it's not to say that there was, you know, there was issues that I had had, or situations or experiences that I had had at the time as a child that I hadn't processed. But in the moment of when I was dealing with the depression, you're right, there wasn't really anything wrong with my life in
Yeah.
saying that if you were an outsider looking in, and that's often the comments that I would receive from people when I would, you know, finally open up and talk to people about what I was going through. You know, from the outside looking in, my life looked perfect,
Right.
right? I was a young girl in my 30s, had my own place, independent, had my own car. Like, there was so many things that were right.
Yeah.
And quote unquote, no reason then for me to be depressed. But
Yeah.
in reality, it wasn't about any of those things. It was really about what was going on inside. And, you know, just to sort of tie it back to those physical conditions, and when we were talking about how I spent years chasing solutions for those physical conditions, you know, once I went on that medical leave and I started to open myself up to the alternative healing arts, I realized that the physical conditions I was dealing with were the last sort of line in terms of how they were manifesting. And so, as upset as I got when my doctor told me that it was all in my head, because I would keep going back to the doctor and he would say to me, "You're perfectly healthy. We've done blood work. You've gone to the specialist. There's nothing wrong with you. You're
But it
perfectly
was
healthy."
right.
He's like, "Everything, it's just in your head." I used to get really upset at him when he would tell
Yeah.
me that, because I'm like, it's not in my head. Like, I'm feeling these physical conditions.
Yeah.
You're discounting what I'm feeling. And I know he didn't mean it in the same way, because
Right.
he's a traditional medical doctor.
Yeah.
But I now can reflect back and say, Yes, he was so right.
And
It
had no
was
clue.
all in my head,
Right.
but all in my head in the sense that I needed to get my mindset,
Yeah.
I needed to get my emotions right, I needed to
Yeah.
get my spiritual practices in order. When I got all those three in check, the physical symptoms started to diminish. And so now, what I teach my students and my clients and the people that I work with, and anyone that will listen to me, because honestly, I've become so passionate about talking about how for us to be healthy and in a good state of being, we need to operate holistically,
Yeah.
mind, body, heart, and soul. And when I
Yeah.
say heart, I mean we need to get right with our emotions. We
Yeah.
need to get clear on what we're feeling. We need to process we're feeling. And we need to recognize we become like we're emotional beings. Whether we want to believe it or not, because again, as a culture, mostly in Western society, we're conditioned to not feel. You don't bring feelings into the corporate world. You don't bring feelings out into the world. You leave them at home. You check them at home. You don't mix personal with business. There's all these little like nuances that we have to live by. But in reality, we are emotional beings. That is
Right.
one of our bodies, is our emotions. And our emotions come to the surface because they're trying to show us something. They're trying to alert us to something. And if we don't listen, then it will eventually lead to physical conditions. It will lead to much worse physical conditions than what I was experiencing. And
Right.
I felt like I was experiencing some pretty challenging things in my life, right? But I know it can lead to cancer, it can lead to Alzheimer's, it can lead to heart attacks, it can lead to all of those other more chronic, challenging physical conditions that humans are experiencing these years or, over the last
Yeah.
number of decades. And I've learned that so much of that is because of our mindset and because of our emotions and because we haven't processed our trauma and our pain. And when we do, when we process that, when we go on that healing journey, when we integrate our mind, body, heart, and soul and start to operate in true alignment, then I know, and there are so many incredible stories out there in the world of people healing their physical body
Yeah.
from the most terminal conditions that we can think of,
Yes.
brain tumors, life-threatening cancers. People have survived that.
Yeah.
People can heal their bodies from it. And once I started to realize all that, then I recognized that the power is truly in us
Yes.
and
Yes.
not outside of us.
Listen,
And then
Carla, I have to
everything changed.
tell you, because I want to get into your actual work, like what has been born of all of this that you've realized. Because look at, we've almost been talking for an hour. Can you believe it? Like it goes so quickly.
No.
But I have to say, it's very interesting in this realm. We do talk a lot about the mind-body connection and like the effects of mind and emotion and how it will manifest. But honestly, I have to thank you for, coming to share your story, because again, I feel like there's something in the way that you have shared and explained what your journey has been that makes that more clear. Because there's a lot of things that we say in this realm that are just very commonly said, but we don't often dissect or really go deeper into, well, what is the meaning of, oh, the mind-body connection, and yes, the mind and the emotion, and in fact, it can be frustrating sometimes for people to hear, like, oh, well, the state of your emotions and what you have tucked away, that's why you have back pain or something like this. But I think in what you said, it makes it all very clear and very understandable. And I love that how, that realization of what the doctor said was 100% true, just not in the way that he meant it.
Right.
That was gold right there. So I do want to talk to you about, because now you have gone through all of this and thankfully, you get to live out that purpose that you have pursued, like finally listening to the pursuit of your soul, right? Such a beautiful thing. And I know that you focus a lot on helping people to unpack trauma. So could you talk a little bit about what your journey has now become and how it is you are choosing to hold space for other people?
Yes, yes. So I realized that, you know, everything that I went through in my life and everything we all go through in life is perfectly designed for us and for us to find some beautiful, unique gift within ourselves that then we're designed to go out into the world and share with others.
Yeah.
And, you know, through my healing journey, I recognize that all that pain, all that trauma, all of those things that I had experienced was actually leading me up to this moment so that I can recognize how to help myself and heal myself first, because it always starts with self.
Yeah.
We can't go out there and try and fix the world unless we've fixed ourselves first. And not that we need fixing, but
right.
I mean that we do the work on ourselves first. And so, you know, once I did that work on myself, I recognized that I now had kind of like a secret key to helping other people navigate similar challenging experiences. And again, I've always known that my role in life is to be of service. And it just felt so perfectly in alignment for me to step into, you know, guiding and supporting individuals that, you know, have gone through trauma, are going through a lot of pain, and are seeking and desiring more out of their life. And they know they need to put that behind them and are ready to make those changes. I spent many years, you know, sort of wandering around, trying to learn all these things, trying to figure out all these things out. And I feel like, you know, if I had had someone to guide me along the path, I might've had that healing journey kind of shortened and maybe would have been able to step into my purpose and my power much sooner.
Right.
And so now I just find that I have this big calling to help others, because, you know, I do see so many people are being led down a path that is not truly going to fulfill them and their purpose.
Right.
And that will lead people to feeling depressed, disconnected, all those things. And then God only knows what other symptoms or conditions they can experience.
Right.
I've described some of the things that I went through, but, you know, the symptoms and how they manifest in our life, in our lives, can look very different for everyone. And so, you know, it became very important for me to really step into this sort of role where I can guide and support individuals on their healing journey and help them shorten that time, help them, you know, take the, you know, that pain and trauma and create something beautiful out of it in a shorter amount of time, and then be able to support them as they go out there into the world and create whatever it is that they're creating in their life, because we all have something beautiful we're here to create. But our pain, our trauma, and all of our emotions often hold us back from recognizing what that is. And I know how important and how happy it's made me in tapping into my own skills and my own greatness and my own purpose, and how I can now go out there and put that out into the world, that it brings me so much joy to be able to support someone else in recognizing their own greatness. So now I work with individuals, help them, as you mentioned, heal from trauma, heal from all those, you know, conditions, programmings, all those things that really have been instilled in us in a way to keep us from recognizing our own greatness,
right?
And really support them on that journey. So my three steps, I call it my three steps, or my three steps to unlocking your potential, which is really releasing all the things that no longer serve us. So, you know, all those belief systems, the self-sabotaging patterns, you know, all the trauma, all the emotions, we release all of those things that have been keeping us stuck, that have been keeping us, you know, unable to move forward. The second step is all about reconnecting, because I knew that when I was not connected to myself, I was lost. I was wandering around aimless. I had no direction in my life, had no idea where I was going. the moment I released everything and started to reprogram and heal myself, it opened up all this space for me to now. I was kind of like, what do I do with all of this? Now I have to learn and go inwards and learn who I am. What are my values? What's important to me? What really makes me happy? In that is where I think people will discover their purpose. When they reconnect to themselves, they'll find inside of them, they'll find what it is that makes them truly happy.
Right.
And then the third phase is all about realigning. So now we're clear. We've gotten rid of the junk. We know who we are. We know what is going to bring us purpose and fulfillment and joy. And now we're going to realign to that divine purpose of ours.
Yes.
And we're going to start to take the action steps forward that we need to bring about this new identity, this new person that we're creating for the world to see in a new way. And so it's a 3-month coaching program where we go through those three steps and really help people get back to themselves, because when we do, then we're in our true full power and we become limitless. We can do absolutely anything that we put our mind to. And when we are in alignment, we can almost snap our fingers and say, we want to manifest XYZ, and whatever it is will manifest almost right before our eyes.
Yeah.
But we
It's
need
so
to do the healing work
interesting to hear you
in
say
alignment.
It. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible because you're making me remember, fortunately, when I first started this work, when all of my eruption was happening, I happened to meet another friend, and she and I have become like sisters over the years. But we were very much each other's support system in the beginning. And we would joke like, oh, we have to go through this fire so that it doesn't have to be this way for other people. Right. And that's what I hear you echoing. And it's very interesting that so many people do feel inspired and called to be willing to go through this very deep level transformation so that they can be of service in supporting others to do the same. And it's so beautiful, Carla, like your story and what has motivated you, and just the fact again that you allowed yourself, you had the audacity to re-identify, to get to know the true essence of you, to listen to the soul. We're actually going to call this episode Dialogue with the Soul, because I mean, truly, that has been such an important factor in your experience. So I do want to make sure, of course, I will have the links to work with you below. Again, you do have this 3-month coaching program, but your website is awakenharmony.ca, our Canadian friend, and then online at awakenharmony8. And you have a podcast called Awaken with Carla. So could you tell us a little bit about the podcast as well?
Yes, absolutely. So the podcast is just an extension of the work that I'm really doing and the message that I'm getting out into the world, where, you know, again, we have to awaken to the truths that are within us, awaken to, you know, that inner wisdom that we all have. And so, you know, similar to yourself, I bring guests on that will share their own story of how they've gone through their own sort of awakening. You know, similar to me, where maybe they were doing something different, that awakening led them to, you know, discovering their purpose. And now they're doing, you know, healing work or, you know, conscious type of work, helping the collective, you know, on a bigger scale. And really, again, it's about bringing the awakening to the mind, the body, the heart, and the soul. And so we cover topics in those realms and really get individuals, you know, to that point of understanding that for us to be our best selves, which I think is what we're all striving for. I think now, you know, the collective has gotten to a point where, you know, we all want to be better versions of ourselves. And if that's what we're striving for, then we really need to operate mind, body, heart, and soul. And so the podcast will, talk about different topics in that realm and, show real life examples of individuals who've gone through their own healing journeys and, just encourage and motivate people to really see themselves in these stories so that if they have their own wishes and their own desires to go out there and create something magnificent, that they can see that it's possible. Because if it's possible for one person, then we can model anything. We can replicate anything that we see someone else doing. And if they've achieved a level of success, as long as we model the same steps, then we can achieve some level of success as well. And so I think through sharing these stories, it could be a way to inspire people to, make the changes that they want in their life. Go on that transformational journey for themselves. And, yes, it can be hard work, but it's very sacred work. It is our sacred duty. And it's interesting because one of the guests I had on my show, we talked about how, how it's important for us all to do our own healing work. And I mentioned, I said, the challenge is that many people find it's hard work. And he said, yes, it can be. But if we change our language and start to think of it as sacred work, then it makes it a little bit easier for us to want to embark on that journey. And that stuck with me. And I now really resonate with the idea that this is such sacred work that we all have to do. And I encourage you, I encourage the listeners, I encourage anyone who's, going through these challenging moments, recognize that, yes, they may be challenging, but it is exactly the experience that you need in order to be able to recognize your own power and your own greatness. And I think that, is what I'm trying to sort of demonstrate with the podcast is to give people that inspiration to say, if someone else did it, if someone else went through that pain, or if someone else went through that challenge in their life, and now this is what they're doing, there's hope for me, or there's something that I can do in my life to create change.
100%. That is so beautiful, Carla. I really am. It has been absolutely incredible hearing your story. And again, just how much I know everyone will be able to resonate, but also simultaneously be very encouraged by what you've gone through and what you've come to realize. And it's funny you say with the sacred work, that's exactly why I had to reframe dark night to sacred night because, I mean, like, yes, it's challenging, but the truth is it's sacred. And it's interesting how language, just a little shift in how we recognize things, how powerfully impactful that can be. So my
Absolutely.
love, I have to thank you again for coming. Can you believe the hour went this fast? Like,
It went fast. I know.
it went so
We've
fast.
had such a great conversation. When you said it's been almost an hour, I looked at it and I was like, wow, it has been almost.
Know, but the beauty is everyone listening can continue to hear your work and all of the beautiful gifts that you bring. So the podcast again is called Awaken with Carla, and her website is awakenharmony.ca, but of course I will have the links to everything down in the show description. And again, I just thank you for being here, my love, and hopefully we'll get to connect again soon.
Yes, thank you. And just a quick reminder, I wanted to offer your community a
Oh,
little workbook, guidebook. I, a big portion of the work that I do, and I think the first step for any of us on this transformational journey is to first become aware of some of the things that are showing up in our life. And a lot of that is, our self-sabotaging patterns or the belief systems that we have about ourselves and the world around us that often will limit us or will hold us back. So I created a little guidebook that will help individuals start to reflect on their own life, what some of those belief systems are that they may have in place. Because again, that's the first step is that awareness. So once we start to see what patterns, what beliefs we have and we're holding, then we can actually start to create the change. So I'd love to offer your community that little guidebook. I think it's a crucial first step in that healing journey. And then, of course, if anyone has any questions, I'm always available and would be more than happy to help in any way that I can.
Thank you so much. So is this something to access the book? Do they sign up for the newsletter or will you provide a link?
Yes, I'll provide you with a link.
Okay.
And they can go on and they'll be able to download the workbook directly.
So you better get down into the little show description and get the link, get your free workbook. Yes. And,
Exactly.
You know, all of the other ways to connect with Carla as well. Thank you so much. That's a very generous offer. Appreciate it. And yeah, well, that's it, babe. We've done it.
We've done it. Thank you again
We've
for
done
having
it.
me on our show, on your show. It's been such a blessing and I'm so honored to be here.
Oh, babe, it was an absolute pleasure. And for everyone else, we will see you very soon. Bye for now. Okay, beautiful alchemist, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Carla Fernandez. Again, her website is awakenharmony.ca, and you can follow Carla on Instagram at awakenharmony with the number 8 at the end. And the links for all of that, of course, are down in the show description. Just want to thank you all again for being here, for being part of the community. It means a lot to me. And again, I really, truly appreciate your emails, your feedback. Very excited to work with and meet some new alchemists, some of you out there next year when the registration for the Alchemy Circle reopens. That is my favorite way of sharing because it's ongoing mentoring for an entire year, but I get to know the members personally and you all get to form friendships, relationships, and it's just a beautiful space of community. So this year, you know, the registration's already closed, but it will reopen next year. So if you want to know when I will be reopening the Alchemy Circle, also any other upcoming classes that I will be offering in person and online, be sure to sign up for my newsletter. So go to my website, sign up for the newsletter. You'll also get access right away to 2 free downloads. So make sure to do that. And that is it, my loves. Be sure to download the app and follow me on Instagram at Reiki Radio. I hope you are having a wonderful, wonderful day. And remember to always journey in love.